Sack of Sports, Episode 2 for March 14th, 2012, Dan Sacchini. This week on the Tech of Sports, Dan Sacchini, a tournament fisherman from the Lanier Striper Club and president of the Lanier Crappie Anglers Club. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There is an app for both iOS and Android devices. And also don't forget the Stitcher Radio app for all iOS devices, Android, BlackBerry, and Palm. Get Stitcher for free with all your favorite Netcast Studio shows preloaded. Stitcher Radio, award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, smart radio for your smartphone. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. And you can join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. I'd like to welcome you to the show tonight. This is Rick, and this is the Tech of Sports on a Wednesday night. Hope you'll find this an interesting show tonight, as we're going to talk about one of the most popular sports and activities in the world, fishing. While fishing as an industry traces its roots back to biblical times, fishing as a sport is thought to have started in Japan in the 9th century, where there's written evidence of fly fishing not only for survival, but as a recreational activity. When we talk fishing today, we talk about a huge industry, and sport fishing also plays a vital role in our economy and lives. While many people know all about the food that is pulled from the sea, the fishing industry also helps drive the travel and tourism of many freshwater and tidal areas. There's a whopping 40 million anglers in the United States today, and the sports fishing industry is expected to be a $45 billion industry in 2012. There are 1 million jobs directly related to the sport fishing industry in this country. And a good sign for the economy, fishing license sales were up 8.4% this past December over December 2010. And in a recent survey, the National Sporting Goods Association ranked fishing 6th out of 42 recreational activities when it comes to popularity, preceded only by walking, swimming, exercising, camping, and bowling. That brings us to our very special guest this evening. Dan Sacchini is a tournament fisherman who lives on Lake Lanier in Georgia. He's a former president of the Lanier Striper Club, and is current president and co-founder of the Lanier Crappie Anglers Club. He's the winner of the 2008, 2009, and the 2010, 2011 Lanier Striper Club Pro Class Cumulative Tournament, and he's the co-founder of the Lanier Striper Club Fun Fest. He's worked with the Corps of Engineers on numerous conservation projects and helps promote fishing to kids, seniors, and those with special needs. He's a honorable hosting captain for the Atlanta Falcons, Wounded Warrior annual outing on Lake Lanier. And more importantly, Dan is my go-to guy when it comes to everything fishing. We'd like to welcome you to the show, Dan.
Rick, good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. How are they biting so far in 2012?
Well, the water temperature is warming up. I was on the water today. It was 62 degrees in the back of the creeks. After having a couple of back-to-back years, all in the kind of slow, all indications show that we are fixing to have a banner year. Get your rods and reels, put new lines on them, and fish for those stripers. They are excellent, excellent fish as far as fighting, and they make a good food table. I hate to admit that, but they are tasty.
So the Friday fish fry is alive and well this year.
We'd rather fry crappie and other kind, but stripers can taste good. But I'm a conservationist, so I can't promote it too well.
You live in the same part of the country I do in the Metro Atlanta area, and we've been pretty warm so far this year. Does that affect anything or change anything on the waters?
Well, it does. It does. I mean, the stripers, they're still staging in the backs of the creek. They're trying to move about midway into the creeks. The best places to target them is in shallower water early in the morning, humps and points. You can fish them start early in the morning in about 15, 20 feet and gradually move to deeper water. The bait of choice, if you can't catch gizzards or you don't want to spend lots of money on gizzard shad, bluebacks is the bait of choice. Just get you a good heavy medium rod and put a 20-pound line on your reel and make sure you use a fluorocarbon, about a 4 to 6 foot leader. Fluorocarbon is a must, and it's what we call the invisible line. Always match the hatch as far as the bait to your hook size. You don't want to use a big hook on a small bait. Just always just make sure you look at the bait that you're buying and make sure you buy the right size hooks to go with the bait. And usually the guys at the bait store, they can help you with that.
That's some good advice for the recreational fisher out there. You've been fishing for a long time, and like any other sport, in today's day and age, technology has really changed a lot of things, and technology's really invaded the fishing industry. What are the biggest changes you've seen in fishing technology over the years that you've been on the waters?
Well, the big wave, I think, is the side scan imaging. It takes the guesswork out of fishing. It's easy to find the bait. It's easy to find the fish. They can't hide from you. I think both Hummingbird and Lowrance have done an incredible job introducing those units on the market. You can shoot a side scan that you can go under a dock and see if there's any stumps, any chairs, any furniture, any tables, whatever. Nothing hides from those sonars anymore. And they're easy to identify brush, and it's easy to find fish and bait.
How's that fair for the fish anymore?
I feel sorry for the fish. I really do. I feel sorry for the fish. It makes it a lot easier to catch them.
You think that's opened up the sport to a lot of people that maybe found fishing kind of frustrating and boring if they'd spent a whole day after preparing a boat and preparing everything to go out on the water and try to catch something? You think that's encouraged maybe a lot of kids to get into fishing?
I think so. I think so. Definitely. It brought awareness and interest, and it strengthened the entire sports. It's like Tiger Woods to golfing. You got a lot of good fishermen out there and are willing to share information. The bait stores are doing an incredibly good job. You can go to websites. They'll give you a day-to-day update on fishing conditions, which part of the lake. But it comes down to time on the water. To be able to catch those fish, you need to spend time on the water. You need to learn your lake. Having said that, lots of us, we don't have that luxury. So the best way to do that is get linked with one of the clubs. And if I can take a minute, I'd like to promote three outstanding striper clubs on Lake Lanier: the North Sure. Georgia Club, the North Georgia Striper Club, the Oakwood Striper Club, and of course, personally, I'm biased to the Lanier Striper Club, which I'm a proud member of. But any of those clubs, every month we have outstanding speakers. We have outstanding fishermen in the club, and we do monthly outings. So even the people that don't have a boat are interested in catching a fish. We try to hook them up with captains and get them out on the water and give them hands-on lessons on how to catch those stripers. That's really the best way to link and hook up and get to know people is to join a club.
Yeah, and you guys do a lot of great work, charity work and work for the community. And that's just one little segment of the fishing world. Maybe more people are familiar with the professional tours that are put on TV. where top fishermen and it gets exposure even on ESPN. Guys like Kevin Van Dam, who may be the Tiger Woods of fishing, and Skeet Reese and David Dudley. I mean, these guys are multimillionaires because of professional fishing. I mean, who would have thought that years ago? Has that exposure been good for the sport, or does that kind of overlap what you guys do?
Oh, hats off to those guys. They bring a wealth of information, and they add charisma and character to the sports. Absolutely, absolutely. I think striper fishing is not as popular as bass fishing, but it's picking up momentum, and we're making those open tournaments happen. And with the help of some big sponsors, hopefully one day we can compete with the bass tournaments. But right now, we're not in that position yet, but it's coming. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is. And you guys have a great event you guys put on each year, the Lanier Striper Club Fun Fest, where maybe it's not as cutthroat as a pro bass fishing tournament. But nonetheless, it's a great event, and it gets exposure for you. How did you guys come up with the idea for that particular tournament? And tell us a little bit about the event as a whole.
Well, I fish a lot with Steve Sitton. He's one of the presidents with AT&T, and over the years we've developed a good solid friendship, and I fish tournaments with him. And he's very passionate about the sport. So, spending hours and hours, we're trying to come up with a way to make an impact on Lake Lanier. And after giving it a lot of thoughts and talking to the officers with the Lanier Striper Club, we came up with the Fun Fest. And Steve's job was to go after and promote the event and get us the sponsors. And my job was to organize it. It's a lot of work. We've done it 3 years in a row, and it's been a huge, huge, huge success. Usually we sell out in a few months, we're going to be taking a break from it this year, but it's coming back next year.
One of the things that I covered and wrote about at the tournament was a unique little bit of technology you guys used where I think you guys were one of the first events to try something like this out. You weighed the fish that were caught virtually. And how is this possible? And maybe tell a little bit about that process where fish are weighed with pictures and then emailed into a central location where a weight was determined. Give a little background and information on how that went.
Well, we went to Samsung, and I said, We told them we need 80 phones. They looked at us and they said, "What?" I said, "Yes, we're going to need 80 phones. We need you guys to donate us 80 phones to give away to our fishermen that are going to fish this tournament." And they agreed, and AT&T were willing to activate the units. And of course, every fisherman that participated, every boat that participated, they got to own a rugby Samsung that's donated by Samsung, of course, and AT&T activated the phone, and we gave them a certified measuring board and a number that was issued to them early in the morning, and they had to place that number on the fish and take a picture of the fish with the accurate measurement that the head need to be in one direction and the tail need to be in the opposite, of course, and send the picture to our headquarters. And we monitored and we knew exactly who caught what as the day went by, and it was a huge, huge success. Thanks to all our sponsors.
It was, and it's great to see companies like AT&T and Samsung recognizing that fishing's really a growing sport and a family sport. And them stepping up to the plate for you guys and trying something new.
Well, I tell you, when you see LG and Samsung and AT&T and Motorola and Samsung, I mean, I know I'm going to be missing Sony, Ericsson, and And I can go on and on and on. I mean, they were all, but the unique thing about our tournament, those guys not only sponsored us, they actually participated in the tournament. That's a key. You hear about a lot of tournaments where they get big sponsors, but those sponsors are not fishing those tournaments. Well, the opposite with us, me and Steve, we cherry picked 20 reputable captains, and we told our sponsors, we're going to put you guys on the boat with those outstanding captains to go out and catch fish during the day. And that's exactly what we did. So our sponsors not only delivered in big ways as far as money and raffled items and whatever, but they actually fished the tournament. Every one of them fished the tournament, and that's what we're proud of.
Take us through a step-by-step little scenario or process of when a fish was caught, what exactly went into the virtual weighing of the fish?
Well, we had a committee that looked at the pictures. So and the way the devices were programmed, with one push of a button after you take a picture, you click on that button, it goes back to our headquarters. And the guys look at the picture, blow it up if they have to, and they know exactly what the fish measures. And so we can turn it back and let it live again as quickly as we can back into the water.
So you took the actual measurements of the fish right on the boat?
Yes, yes. Every boat had a certified measuring board, and they laid the fish on that board. They had to use our measuring system, our measuring board, and they took a picture of that fish, and we went by the length from the head to the tail.
Did you run some tests before the tournament, to see how accurate it was going to be?
We've ran many a test on that. Our club donated a lot of time and effort into that. And yes, of course, we did that probably 30 to 50 times. And I tell you one thing. We've never, ever had one person that fished that tournament came and disputed something. It's basically is what you see is what you get. And there's no cheating. Well, it minimized the cheating. Let me put it this way. The guys that fished the tournament are good guys, and I'm proud of them, and I'm glad they participate in those tournaments, and hopefully we will be back on track pretty soon next year.
Did you see kind of an excitement in the participants that they were trying something new and they were excited to try this process? And I've asked you before, have you heard from other tournaments that have asked you about them implementing the same process at their tournaments?
Oh, we got a lot of good feedbacks, outstanding feedbacks. Real positive. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. This is the future way of doing tournaments. As a conservationist, we need to protect those fish. And in order to do that, that is the proper way of doing tournaments is doing it the way we've been doing it the last 3 years. Definitely. And I really think even the bass fishermen, sooner or later, they're gonna quit doing the way they weigh their fish. But having said that, bass tolerates warm temperature. That's a key. And those guys, the professionals, when they put a bass tournament, they put those fish back in oxygenated water. They take it back to the lake and they put them back safely. So, but unfortunately, with striper fishing, you cannot do that. Keep the fish healthy and in good shape, really, it's more realistic to take a picture of it, measure the length, and let it go.
Have you heard from, or have you heard anything about any of the bigger bass fishing tournaments maybe wanting to try the virtual weighing in this year or in the upcoming years?
Not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. I mean, that's my prediction.
I think it is too. And those phones you were using are waterproof and a real durable
yes.
phone. So that I think you have to have something like that in the boat to make it work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're quality phones, and we're extremely thankful to the to Samsung and AT&T and the other sponsors for helping us with this event.
Yeah, they did a great job. And I'll give you a break here for a second as we take a little commercial break for Amazon. If you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon in this spring or in the coming months, Amazon actually carries a bunch of fishing equipment. And probably, I know for a fact, a lot of them are at a cheaper price than you'd find at your local fishing store or a Bass Pro Shops. You can go out to the stores and check out the merchandise and then check and see what Amazon's offering for the same product at probably a lower price. And the code you can use if you're going to order anything on Amazon, and it helps Netcast Studio and all the great shows that are put on here, is netcaststudio.com/Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps all the shows here at Netcast Studio and all the content that comes to you. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And Dan, I want to give you a second here to, if people have questions about the tournament or the virtual weighing, do you have an email address or a website that you can direct them to?
Yes, absolutely. It's www.lanierstriperclub.com. And our club mission is pretty simple: to promote conservation, fellowship, and education. And we deliver on all three. We have a great, great group of fishermen, great speakers throughout the year. We meet 12 times a year, once a month. And we have a fish outing once a month, usually the following Saturday after the meeting. We meet the first Tuesday of every month at Roanoke Baptist Church on Buford Dam Road. People can contact me at 404-425-4059, and I'll be glad to give them whatever information they need. We have a great cook she's been cooking for us. If you're looking for a good home cooked meal, come to our Striper Club. You won't be disappointed. It's $10. And I think the annual dues is $30 a year, so it's really minimal. But for what you get out of it, if you like to learn how to striper fish, even bass fish, join a club. There's nothing like having a good network when you want to go out on a Saturday fishing. You can call half a dozen people and they'll give you a report on what's going on. Those stripers, they move a lot. So really, networking is very, very, very critical, very important. So then that's what the club will offer you, to get to know those people that get to spend time on the lake a lot, 3-4 times a week or a couple of 3 times a week. It doesn't matter. But you can call these guys, and I guarantee you, they will let you know what you need to know, basically.
Yeah, it's a real active club, and I think you brought up a good point. A lot of knowledgeable people there, and I think calling on those people or seeking out advice is going to make your time fishing even more and more enjoyable.
You know, I fished 12 tournaments last year. And we've had a guest member on our boat, me and Steve, at every tournament. And I can tell you what a blessing is to get to know those people, make new friends, and just teach them how to fish. And hopefully they'll get a chance to reel in one of those monsters.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of them on Lake Lanier.
Sure. Yeah, Lake Lanier, it's in the same, we both live in the same part of it, or the country here in Metro Atlanta. For the people listening that maybe aren't as familiar with Lake Lanier and the great place it is, give a little information about Lake Lanier and what a great place it is to fish.
Well, it's probably 45-minute run from Atlanta. Straight 400 is probably the closest one, Baldridge Marina or at the dam. So it's not that far, and it's a good, healthy lake. I think the Corps of Engineer does outstanding job managing this lake, and the DNR does an incredible job managing the population of the fish per acre. And I know it gets visited a lot. And I mean, bass fishing, spotted bass fishing on Lanier is phenomenal. It's nothing to go out there and catch 30 to 50 fish a day. They're easy to catch, especially if you're using bluebacks, blueback herring that you can buy from any bait store. They're easy to catch. But of course, I'm targeting the beast. I'm targeting the stripers. And you know, that's what I'm after.
Yeah, it's a good size lake, and it is a busy lake.
You know, it's very busy, and I'm gonna take a few minutes and brag about myself a little bit. Last year, I was in the middle part of the lake. I was in a section of the lake. It's called Flat Creek. I had 17 boats around us, and we managed to hook a 42.5 pounder.
Wow.
You know, it looks good on my wall, but I can't tell you that I was doing anything different than those 17 boats. I was just the lucky guy that happened to have that bait in front of that fish. I you know, there were plenty of good fishermen around me. You know, but it's all about luck. You know, when you're dragging live bait behind a boat, luck plays a big part. Your equipment plays a big part. You know, if you have a raggedy line, an old line, most likely you will lose a fish like that. But, you know, if you keep up with your equipment, put new lines, make sure the drag, I can't emphasize enough about setting your drag properly. You know, you don't want to tighten it too tight. Those fish, they don't nibble. They just ambush. And when they ambush, before you grab the pole and put it in your hand, you know, those fish are already stripped probably 50 feet of line. So all you're trying to do is get it out of the rod holder and slowing them down, making them turn, so you can start cranking and bringing the fish in. So, you know, when you guys go out, anybody have a chance to catch a monster striper on Lake Lanier? I mean, the Lanier record was broke last year, and probably some of your listeners heard about that. A bass fisherman fishing a black lizard, and he just happened to catch 47-pound striper. It can happen. So luck always plays a big role when you're pulling bait behind your boat.
Yeah, but you made a good point that having proper and adequate equipment at least puts you in position to have that lucky moment where you can reel something like that in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you hate to go home and talk about the fish that got away from you.
That's the fun one to talk about.
And it's always the biggest one.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. You wouldn't believe the ones that got away from me over the years.
I heard that before. Amen.
But more than just tournament fishing, you've been involved with some great programs and causes at the lake and just in general. I know of three of them that I'm aware of. The Courtesy Dock Program, the Corps of Engineering Fishing Pond, which is great, and then another one that always gets a lot of media attention is the Atlanta Falcons and their Wounded Warrior outing. Can you maybe go through those quickly, all three of those?
Well, I mean, over the years, I've developed a special friendship with the Corps of Engineers, and they're good, solid people. And we've developed a good working relationship with them. And without the Fun Fest, we wouldn't be able to spend money that we spend on Lake Lanier. But because of the Fun Fest, we're trying to put most of the money, if not all the money, back into Lake Lanier. This is our goal. And we've adopted 11 courtesy docks all over the lake, at different parts of the lake. And we put new fascia boards on them. We put new rub rails, cleats. And we've even moved one dock because of the drought and the lake went down. And it cost us a lot of money, but we were able to move the courtesy dock into the open water. So fishermen and pleasure boaters can use that. It's not all about the Lanier Striper Club. Those projects impact the pleasure boaters as long as and the bass boaters and the striper fishermen. So, and we're proud to be involved with the Corps of Engineer. We adopted a fish pond on their property, and they use it for kids and seniors special events. And, you know, the Wounded Warrior and the Atlanta Falcons, that's a big one. Every summer, we get a chance to put a few players from the Atlanta Falcons with 2 to 3 Wounded Warriors that come home, and we're proud of those kids. And it's a special day for us. I mean, March the 23rd, we're doing, I'm involved with an outing called Outdoors Without Limits. And that's another Wounded Warrior type event. You know, we're taking some of our soldiers that got back, and we want them to go out there and enjoy fishing. Another one that I've been involved with and I will be involved with again is the Operation One Voice Skin and Fins. It's Phil Necro played a big part of that. And, of course, Bobby Cox and many celebrities. I think we raised about $22,000, $23,000 in one day. That was incredible. I got to fish with my friend O'Neill Williams, and we were on a mission to beat beat Phil Necro. He was ahead of us in the count, and we ended up beating him. So me and O'Neill Williams, my good friend, we felt good that day.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it's hard to say who has a better time out there, the celebrities and the troops that come back, or your the club members that are that captain a lot of those things. Everyone has a great time out there.
Well, I tell you, Mark Smith with the Falcons, the head coach of the Falcons, and you just I'm amazed at how professional these players are, and I'm amazed about how much they take time to take pictures with them, and they, you know, they'll sign their autograph with a smile on their face. And I mean, they are top notch guys. But you know something? Bobby Cox is the same way. Phil Necro is the same way. And I can go on and on and on.
Sure.
Those guys really step up to the plate. And, you know, and those celebrities, it's important to have them at those events. They jazz it up and they bring, you know, something special to those events. We're proud of what they do. We really are.
Yeah, they're great events. One of the underlying themes that you've touched on a few times is the green initiatives that you've tried to implement and that you've been making progress on. How important is it now for lakes and fishing locations to start a green initiative?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that striper bass, they do not reproduce in this lake. There's not enough current in Lake Lanier for them to reproduce. Now, they do their ritual. They go up the river to spawn or pretend that they're spawning, but those fish are fertile. They do not reproduce in Lake Lanier. So it's very important. Stocking Lake Lanier is very, very important. And we've hit a couple of bad years, but the fish biologists acknowledge that there's a problem, and they stepped up to the plate in big ways. Last year, I think they doubled, if not tripled, the stocking rate. And this year is doing the same thing. And I'm very encouraged. And I really think this year is going to be a great, great, great year for striper fishing.
Yeah, that just makes the fishing better for everybody. And the whole community and the whole lake community that you guys do that.
And, you know, I'm going to throw in another shocker. This time of year, you can go out there and you can spend a day, but you have a good chance to catch a fish over 20 pounds. A friend of mine, he used to pump gas in my boat last year. He sent me a picture yesterday and he caught a 35 pounder, a young kid. To me, that's fascinating. I mean, I like to see pictures like that.
Sure.
It's important. Take what you want, take them home and enjoy them, but don't fill up your freezer full of meat. We like to emphasize for people to catch and release as much as possible. But I talked about something that is going to shock a lot of people. To be honest with you, your chance to catch as many fish as 30 to 50 fish per day is dog days of summer in the middle of the day. These fish are in the middle of the channel, on the south end of the lake. Follow the crowd. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. A lot of people will argue with us on that. The mortality rate is higher in the summertime. You're bringing a fish that is down 40, 60 feet deep. When you bring him up to the surface, that fish, yes, he's exhausted. A lot of people troll for him, and they're trolling 300 feet behind the boat. When you bring a fish to the boat, yes, they're exhausted. But we like to give them that one more chance, and we usually take the fish and torpedo them in the water, and hopefully they go down about 10, 15 feet where they'll have a better chance than throwing them in your cooler.
Sure.
But catching fish in the summertime is phenomenal. It's, if you want the numbers, July and August is your month.
Yeah, you
Dog
can't
days of summer in the middle of the day.
Nothing better out on the lake in the summertime.
And I don't care if there's cruisers coming up and down the lake or what have you, you're still going to catch them.
Yeah, it is great. It is a great time for everybody. I like to wrap up by asking my guest one question. The I'm always curious, the one piece of technology that you personally can't live with, it can be either on or off the lake. What would you say?
Well, I mean, when you go take your boat out, of course you need your telephone just in case of an emergency. You need to have that handy. Ship to shore radios are important. But personally, if I don't have a sonar and I don't have a GPS, yes, GPS, this time of year, I fish my GPS more than I fish my sonar. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know when I'm putting my bait, how deep that water is in front of me. And if you have a good GPS that shows you the contour of the lake, you will know 50 feet of you, is it going to be 20 feet or is it going to be 5 feet of water? And I rely on my GPS a lot. So phone, GPS, and sonar is very important, equally important.
Absolutely. And, you also want to try to stay aware if there's maybe inclement weather coming in, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 months ago, we were iffy about doing our monthly tournaments, and because of the bad weather, we ended up canceling it. Common sense will tell us when there's a small craft advisory on the lake, stay off the lake. Respect the water. And please wear your life jackets.
Good advice and a lot of good information you gave us here tonight, Dan. Give us one more time the website and an email or a contact information for you if anyone has any questions.
It's www.lanierstriperclub.com. Name is Dan Sacnini, and my number is 404-425-4059.
Dan, I really appreciate you coming on, and you've been
you bet, Rick.
You've been a great guest, and hope to have you on again sometime and get an update on anything new and how the fish are biting the rest of this year.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. That's going to wrap up our program this evening. I'd just like to tell you one more time that Netcast Studio has many other shows which might be of interest to you, technology and various lifestyle shows. You can head over to netcaststudio.com to check out those shows. And we are going to wrap up here for tonight. If you're listening live, Waves of Technology will be coming up soon in about an hour, hopefully. And you are listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Netcast Studio production.